Praise God. I'd like you to open your Bibles again to Luke chapter 22. We began something last week talking about bulldog faith, and I believe we need to keep talking about it, some things that the Lord showed me about it. But I want to do a quick review with you about a few of the things that we talked about last week about this whole concept of the development of our faith, building our faith, and developing what we call a bulldog faith or an aggressive faith. It says in Luke 22, 31, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, strengthen your brethren." This scripture here is talking about a plot and the plan that the devil has for each and every individual. And that is what he said here, Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And as we found out last week, that word sift in the Greek, it means to separate, to break into pieces, to shake, shatter, overwhelm, and discouraged. And if the devil can get you in a place of overwhelming you with all of the things that are going on, all of the things that you're facing, everything that's taking place in your life, he will be able to get done what he wants to get done, and that is draw you away from the Word and get you to back off of your faith and back off of your stand with God. And that's his desire and that's his game. But Jesus, it said, he prayed for him that your faith fail not. I pray for you that your faith fail not. That your faith, even as we're talking today, your faith is going to be encouraged. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God plainly tells us that. And really, you can be sitting here right now, and it doesn't matter what's been going on this week. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life right now. You're hearing the Word of God, and that Word is feeding you. You have to feed on the Word in order for your faith to get strong and for your faith to be encouraged and for it to grow and for it to develop. And that's what's happening here right now. Well, that word sift, separate, break in pieces, shatter, shake, overwhelm, overwhelm. And that's one of the things that the devil tries to do, is to overwhelm us. To overwhelm us with all the things that are going on in our lives. To overwhelm us that what might be going on in the physical body or the financial situation or any other number of things. That he tries to use what is called the pile-up technique. He tries to pile things up and get you to a place where you just can't, you feel so overwhelmed. But you know, Psalm 63 tells us plainly that when our hearts are overwhelmed, we run to the rock that is higher than us. Well, there's a rock that's higher than us. And that you can get a bird's eye view of this thing and get direction from the Spirit of God. It doesn't matter if you've got 2, 3, 4, 10, 20 things going on in your life. With the help of the Lord Jesus and the faith and the Word of God, you will overcome each and every one of those things. So the devil's game plan is to drain us, to weaken, to wear down our faith. And he does it through continual pressure, continual disappointments, and continual discouragement. And that's what we work to overcome. He wants us to back down from using our faith to take a strong stand for what belongs to us. And he wants us to live in a constant state of retreat. And as I shared with you last week, that's where I was back in 2002. And I'll just go back through the story with you very quickly. But that was the year that we lived in 5 different places and moved 4 different times. That's quite, that's quite a challenge to be able to do that. That year, we were living in 5 different places. We were living in Colleyville at the time. We sold the house in Colleyville. We were going to head and rent a house out in Newark, but that house wasn't going to be ready for a month. So we moved from Colleyville to an apartment, and we were in the apartment for a month. And during that time, we went out to Anaheim for the convention. We came back and then moved into the house from hell. No, excuse me, I shouldn't say that. It was awful. It was awful. I just can't tell you how awful it was. But we moved into that place, and we lasted 30 days. 30 days. Because the septic system was faulty and there was noxious, poisonous gas going out throughout the house. It was serious. And it must have been serious because, you know, the husband of the house, I'm like, we can make it. We can stay. We're not going to move again until by the end of that month with our heads covered with our covers. I said, let's get out of here. And we did. So we moved in with Kenneth and Gloria. We moved in with my in-laws. And I shared with you how discouraged I was, because at that time I was 49 years old. And 49 years old and living with my parents again. Terry was thrilled because she was able to sleep in a really soft bed, nice place. I, on the other hand, wanted to leave because I was the man of the house and I was not happy with the situation. But they blessed us. We were so thankful for them. And then we were there for 6 weeks, and then we moved again into a rent house, which I told you last week. Tony and Bev, thank you guys for locating that house for us. And we actually lived in that house for the next 5 years because we had purchased a house in the midst of all of this, and we were getting ready to move into it, but found that there were things in that house that needed to be repaired, needed to be fixed. It took us 5 years. It took us 5 years to move into that house. So all that to say, by the time that we were at the Copeland's house right in the middle of the moves, I was seriously discouraged about what was going on and what was happening and what was taking place. And so I just sat down the weekend that they were there. I sat down at a little table that they had in that bedroom, and I just took some time to pray and just really hear from the Lord about what was going on and what was taking place. My attitude, my faith had taken a hit. My attitude was really sinking. And I just went to the Lord, and I was expecting to hear this really sweet voice, this kind voice, this voice just sort of stroking me, comforting me. Oh, George, it's going to be okay. On the other hand, I got a drill sergeant. The Lord was a drill sergeant. And he said to me, he really let me have it. He said to me, I want you to get more aggressive about your faith. I want you to get more aggressive about your faith. And I told you last week, he had a halftime locker room talk with me. How many of you ever had a halftime locker room talk with the Lord? It's really quite an experience when he's talking to you. And I wrote down all these things. This is what he said to me. He said, George, I'm going to get after you about your sorry attitude. I'm going to get after you about your sorry attitude. I wrote all this down. I wrote what he was telling me. He said, you're letting the devil beat you up out there. Get a hold of yourself. Get this thing straightened out. I want you to answer these questions right now. And he gave me this list of questions. I'll give you a couple of them. He said to me, are you maintaining or are you pursuing? Are you dry docked or launching out into the deep? Are you holding the fort or taking new ground? Are you settled into the status quo or reaching up to the next plateau? He said, are you throwing in the towel or going in for the next round? And honestly, I felt like I was on a football team and we were losing really bad. And our coach was getting after us. He said, are you reactive or proactive? Are you passive or pressing? Are you surviving or thriving? Are you circling the wagons or leading the charge? He said, are you chasing after your dreams or are you letting them slip? He said, are you protecting what little you have or are you aggressively possessing all that is rightfully yours? I'm sitting there just listening to this. He said, well, what is it? What is it? Are you going to cow down and quit? Or are you going to get back up on your bulldog faith and win? And that was in 2002. That was when I really first heard that phrase, bulldog faith, is when he was really letting me have it in the locker room of life. And he said, I want you to get more aggressive about taking what's rightfully yours in Christ. I want you to get more aggressive about exercising your faith and lay hold and possess the new territory. He said, I want you to aggressively reach out with your faith and take what you need. Command it to come. Demand it to come in. And then he said to me again, I want you to get more aggressive about your faith. He took me over to 1 John chapter 4. Turn over there. 1 John chapter 5, rather. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. And what he was saying to me, it really kind of snapped me out of that stupor that I was in, that faith low that had really hit me because of all of the overwhelming situations that we were facing. I stuck a couple of things in my notebook here, and this is a copy that I had made of some things that I was declaring over that time, and I was looking at it just the other day and looking through back in 2002, the things that we were believing for at that time. And you know, as I read it, I was really, really touched with the fact that how faithful God is, how faithful He is. And I've got this list of all of these things that we were believing for. And I looked at that back from 2002, and I could go through that list today, and it's check, 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 check. Every single thing. Everything that was trying to overwhelm me, that was trying to bring anxiety into my life, that I was endeavoring to roll the care of it over onto the Lord, I looked through that thing and I saw, Lord, you are so faithful to us. You are so faithful. And the Lord speaks back to me and says, well, that's because you got aggressive. You got aggressive about your faith. You weren't allowing the devil to beat you up, but you were following the pattern that I've given to you. And I'm looking through all of this, and this is when we were at Kenneth and Gloria's house, and I wrote down here, I take possession of our temporary house. Well, Tony and Bev, you found the house. Check. We got into the temporary house. I lay hold of the finances to pay in full and fill and renovate this the house that we had just purchased. Check. Done. Complete. I withdraw the finances from the bank to get Aubrey's car. Our Aubrey was going on 17 years old. She's wanting a car. Aubrey wants a car. So we're believing. And so I'm going down through this list. And all of the things that were overwhelming us at that time, because the Lord helped snap me out of that situation and get me on back on the track that I needed to be on, I look back at that today, and it's all taken care of. It's all done. I give God praise for it. I give God praise for it. And I'm telling you, no matter what your list might be, you may have a list. You may be facing a list like this. I've got a different kind of list that I'm looking at today. We're looking at going on DirecTV at the end of this year. The network, Believer's Voice of Victory Network on DirecTV by New Year's Eve, actually, is what we're pressing on to. The New Year's Eve service would be the first service that we air on DirecTV. So that's about a little over $7 million. Cost for the year. So I've got other things on my list these days, but I'm not taking the care of it. I'm not worrying about it. I'm not concerned about it. I learned some things from the Lord. On the contrary, I am operating in a place of bulldog faith. You can't stop me. You can't keep me back. You can't keep me down from what belongs to me, because I've been through these things. I've seen the Lord work over and over and over again. And I'm telling you, folks, whatever your list happens to be, if you'll get back up on your faith and believe God, you'll see it marked off and checked off. Check, 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 check. Say, check, 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 check. I'm a list guy. Do we have any list people? Any list people in here? I am Mr. List. And one of the things I so enjoy about my list, tell me, what do you enjoy about your list? Checking it off. Checking it off. And so no matter what list is going on in your life, I can tell you what, if you will exercise your faith and believe God and follow some instruction I'm going to give to you today, you'll see Him work in your life and manifest in your life in a most amazing way. And the more you operate in this, and the more you work in this, you'll begin to see an acceleration take place. Things will happen faster. They'll take place faster. How many of you are believing for debt freedom? I'm in agreement with you right now. I say you are debt free in the name of Jesus. You are debt free. Why? You are talking to a pastor who is debt free. Praise God. Praise God. Terry and I went through that together and we both had to encourage each other on that. You have to encourage each other in these things. And if there's nobody around to encourage you, you have to encourage yourself. Just like David encouraged himself in the Lord when they came in and they took Ziklag, he encouraged himself in the Lord. And then the Lord told him, you go ahead and pursue, overtake, and you recover all. I'm saying to you today, you need to pursue. You need to overtake and you need to recover all. You need to recover all. 1 John 5:4-5. Am I yelling at you this morning? I feel like I'm yelling at you. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about the progress that we're making, the things that are being done, the progress that's being made. I have a list. I have a list that I came into the new year with for Kenneth Copeland Ministries. They're not only outreaches that we're involved in, but we're also involved in a lot of infrastructure. We've been on this property for 40 years. And there are things in 40 years' time that need to be repaired. They need to be fixed. They need to be replaced. They need to be torn down. Things need to be built. So we had a master list of the 10 top things that needed to be done, major things. And they were into the millions of dollars. We're talking about the wastewater treatment plant out here. We have our own wastewater treatment plant. And it got out of commission. We reported ourselves. The government's working with us, getting it fixed and getting it back where it should be. But it's like, we can't build one more building or it's going to stink around here. We just And that's an important thing. So there's a list of about 10 things that we went into the new year with. And I am so thrilled to tell you this morning, the money's in the bank for all 10 of those things.
Wow! 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 Yeah! Wow! Glory to God! Woo! That's exciting! Somebody say, money's in the bank.
Money's in the bank.
That's an exciting thing. The money's in the bank. The money's in the bank. So what am I doing? I'm looking at the next list. What's the next list? And you can get into a place with your faith. You get into a faith momentum. You start getting victories in your life, and this thing starts ramping up. And it starts growing faster and faster and faster. And you see things happening quicker and quicker and quicker. And you get to a place in your faith where things that looked so impossible a few years ago are no longer impossible. You grow in it. And you grow into a place that you started off believing this big, and then it got bigger and it got bigger and it got bigger, and it's working on the inside. And see, God wants us to, He wants to prosper us beyond human comprehension. That's what He wants to do. And this scripture in 1 John 5, take a look at that. 1 John 5:4, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God." Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That qualifies you to be an overcomer. An overcomer. You are a world champion, Academy Award winning overcomer. That's who you are. "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world and everything in it." I was thinking about how we here at the ministry had been exercising our faith for those 10 major things. I mean, there's a lot around here needing to be done. I'd be driving by the property here every day, and I'm looking at that fence rust more and more and more. That fence is to have that fence painted. That's about $80,000. Is that right? $80,000 to paint that. Just paint the fence. Money's in the bank. Okay, money's in the bank. What repairs need to be done around your house? Money's in the bank. What things need to be fixed around your house? Well, you start using your faith for that. You start believing God for that. And I like the fact that Terry and I, we are out of debt, like pastor, like pew. What happens to me, it happens to you. We've taken Mount Debt. Hallelujah. Praise God. It says in the Amplified Translation of this, 1 John 5, "For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world, and this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith." Who is that victorious over? Who is it that is victorious over that conquers the world? But he who believes Jesus is the Son of God, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on that fact. And we found out last week that the word faith in the Greek, it is a forward force. It's a force that is forward directed. Faith is a force. It's a force. It's strong enough to move any mountain in your life. It is never passive. It is never retreating. It's never backward. It's always reaching to obtain that object and the specific target that's in front of it. And that's where I say it's like a bulldog. It's like a bulldog. A bulldog will bite down on a bone and not let go. You can try to pull that bone out of his mouth and he will not let go. Or whatever it is that this bulldog has bit down on. And as we talked about last week, that is the attitude. That's the attitude. We bite down and we're not going to let go. I was thinking about Winston Churchill and how they called him, he was called a bulldog. He was called a bulldog because here the Germans are bombing London night after night after night. And Winston Churchill is making his speeches and building up his nation. Do not quit. Never, never, never quit. That was his famous line. We never quit. And they came to that. He just bit down on that. He bit down on the victory. He bit down on the desired result instead of the dreaded outcome. How many of us are thinking about the dreaded outcome, how this thing's going to turn out, how it's going to happen? No, we got to go God's way. We need to be meditating on the desired result. Amen. Believing the best. This thing's going to turn out. Say, this thing is going to turn out. It's going to turn out right. A little weak there on that. We need to practice that one again. This thing is going to turn out right. I have a high expectation of what Jesus is going to do. I believe for the desired result. I'm not walking in fear. I refuse to fear. I walk by faith and not by sight. Praise God then for that. You people, I'm going to wake you up. Drill sergeant. Sir, yes, sir. The bulldog bites down on the bone and he won't let go. What we have to do, we have to take the word of God. What do we do? Oh. Now I've got teeth marks in my Bible. Whatever is going on, did I just do that? Whatever is going on in our lives, we have to bite down on the Word of God. So I'm thinking back on this. I was working on it yesterday, and I was going back through some of my notes that I preached on this before, talked about it before, and I was going back through some of the notes that I had, and I found a word from the Lord that he gave me Saturday, June 28th, 2003. That was a year after all of this took place. And I began to see something. I began to see where it's easy to lose that place of bulldog faith because I hadn't read this since that time. And I went back and I started reading it, and evidently I was having another halftime talk. So something was going on. Well, we purchased the house. We were living in this rent house. We purchased the house we had, and I was expecting to move into the house a whole lot faster than we did. And it was taking longer and longer and longer, and we kept discovering things and uncovering things. And then we started, then Pastor Terry took over, and she was, I'm just saying, it went from this big of a house to that big of a house. So it took us about 5 years to get in. Well, I was getting a little frustrated with all of that. I was getting discouraged about how long it was taking for that to happen. And I don't know what else was going on. I didn't write down what was going on, but evidently something was going on because the Lord had to say this to me. You're going to have to quit sitting around whining, griping, moaning, groaning, and complaining about your present condition. Here we go again. Here we go again. Halftime locker room discussion. He says, you're going to have to stop calling things that are as though they are. He says, you're going to have to break through the resistance and aggressively speak the word to the things that need to be changed. Some stuff must have been going on back then. He said, you're going to have to speak to yourself. You're going to have to speak to your situation. You're going to have to speak to your condition. You're going to have to speak to the devil. Then he said this, if you want a change, you're going to have to make a change. I mean, he was really talking to me pretty hard about this. But again, evidently, I'd gotten on that high place of faith, my bulldog faith back there the year before, and then things started happening again, and then faith starts spiraling downward. And what we have to watch out for is that very thing. That we cannot do that. You cannot do that. You cannot allow your faith to go down. You got to keep that word going all the time. Pastor Terry and I took some time this week. We took this week off from work just to both relax and get things done around the house. We didn't get a whole lot done around the house because you know what we did? We spent, I'd say, the largest percentage of that time feeding on the Word of God. We were listening to the Word. We were ingesting the Word. We were talking about the Word of God. We were speaking the Word of God. And I can feel, can you tell? I feel differently today. There's something about me that's a little different today. Well, we've just spent a whole week with each other. Just really, and I don't think it was a conscious decision, but we just made a determination. We put that Word first place. We're making a final authority in our lives. Things we're believing for, things that we're standing for, things that we're in agreement for. And we came out of this week just like a rocket coming into this new place here. But in looking back at this, I could see that the trend that whenever you get your faith developed and you're going strong, all of a sudden the devil's going to try to attack with something. He's going to try to steal the Word from you. And you can't let him do it. Like that bulldog illustration, you must bite down on the Word and believe that Word. Say, I believe the Word of God.
I believe the Word of God.
I believe what He says. Then the Lord said to me, you have the power and the responsibility to change these things. He says, you are not stuck in a rut. Evidently, I was stuck in a rut. You're not trapped in an unchangeable situation. Obviously, I was thinking the situation was unchangeable. He said, don't say it's always been this way. It's that way now, and it will always be that way. I guess I was saying that. He said, say instead, no, I won't have it that way. I won't have it that way. And then he took me over to 2 Corinthians. Turn over there quickly. 2 Corinthians. This is 2003. This is 2003. And I'm going back over my own notes of the things that he talked to me about. And the more I read it, the more excited I became, the more excited I became, the more excited I became about coming in here and sharing this with you. Because I believe this is what we need to hear today. We need to hear this today. You need a good faith slap in the face. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. So he took me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And these are such powerful scriptures talking about the Apostle Paul. And I am so looking forward to meeting him when we get to heaven. What a man of God. What a powerful man of God. And he was, even in this 2 Corinthians 4, let me read a couple of verses from this. In verse 8, now it says this, and I'll go back and correct it, but it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. The words we are were put there by the translator, at the discretion of the translator. So you can take them out. So the Apostle Paul is speaking and he's saying, I got trouble on every side, but I am not distressed. See, there's an attitude of faith. There's an attitude of faith working there. I got stuff going on all around me, but I am not distressed. That's what we have to do. That's how you break the chokehold that the devil tries to put on you about the things that are going on. He said, well, I got trouble going on every side, but I am not distressed. It says, perplexed, but I am not in despair. He said, persecuted, I'm not forsaken. Cast down, I am not destroyed. He said, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And then you read down into verse 11, For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Listen, if you're believing God for healing today, take that scripture right there. The life of Jesus is being made manifest in my mortal flesh. Come on now. Come on now. The life of Jesus is being made manifest in my mortal flesh. The resurrection life, the same life that raised Jesus from the dead, now dwells within me and is making alive my mortal flesh. That resurrection life is living on the inside. Say, resurrection life,
resurrection life
is living in me.
It's being made manifest
in my mortal flesh. He goes on to say here in verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. That is the spirit of faith. That's the spirit of faith. That is the spirit of faith that's on this ministry. That's the spirit of faith that's on this church. Nothing is impossible to them that believe. Nothing. Nothing. The spirit of faith is, I believe, therefore I speak. I speak what I believe. And people look at us and think we're crazy when we're declaring the power of God and the health of God within our bodies. They think we're something strange. But I've lived this long enough where this is the way we live. This is what we do, and you know what? We've seen the results. We've seen the results. We having the same spirit of faith as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Look at verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now listen to what he says in verse 17. For our light affliction, here's a man that was beaten and left for dead, shipwrecked a number of times. He could count the number of lashings that he received, and he's calling it our light affliction. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What he has done there is really laid out the spirit of faith for us right there. Talking about, first of all, his light affliction is for a moment. And then verse 18, we look not at the things which are seen. We look not at the devil's attack or the pileup stuff or what may be going on physically. We're looking at not the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, those are eternal. Those are eternal. And so the things that are not seen, in Hebrews 11, 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. My faith, it's the substance of things hoped for. Our faith was the substance of the debt-free house that we're living in today. That same debt-free house that I had written down on that prayer of agreement many years ago. We have seen, we have pressed into that, did not give up, did not quit. Even though it seems like at times it would never happen, we just keep pressing. We just keep pressing. And that's where time can either be an enemy or it can be an opportunity. It's either an enemy by discouraging you that this is never going to happen. Or it can be an opportunity to dig into your faith and believe God and get built up and get strengthened and see that thing come to pass. Is that you?
Yes.
That's me. That's you. He said, the Amplified Translation of Hebrews 1, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things that we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. I keep wanting to say sentences. Senses. It's just like as my executive team and I and our team here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, we're looking at those 10 major millions of dollars worth of infrastructure that needs to be taken care of. And I had a choice. I could have become discouraged over it. I could have become frustrated over it. I could have gotten down about it. I could have laid awake at night worrying about it. The first time I was executive director in 1988, I spent a lot of time laying awake at night. Second time, I made a decision. I ain't doing that anymore. I sleep at night. Do you hear that, devil? I sleep at night. So we did not take up the care. We did not take up the worry. But what we did was we spoke to it. We talked to it. We commanded the money to come in for it. We commanded that wastewater treatment plant, you get fixed. Power plant, you be fixed. And all of the other things that were taking place. We used our faith and made a determination that I am not going to get discouraged. I don't care how long this thing takes. This is what we believe. This is where we stand. And like bulldogs, we bit down on it. Yes. We bit down on it. And I use Deuteronomy 28, one of the scriptures in Deuteronomy 28, talking about He will give you a surplus of prosperity. He will give us a surplus of prosperity from the Amplified Bible. And so we stood on that and we believed that. And praise God. Praise God. Faith works. Say faith works. Faith works. Faith works. But you cannot throw in the towel. Maybe some of you came in this place today and you are ready. You are ready to throw the towel. Maybe you have a towel with you. Maybe you thought to yourself, I'm going to throw that towel. If he doesn't say something today that's going to help, I'm going to throw the towel once I get out there. I don't want to see any towels on the front lawn. Because you're not throwing down the towel. You're not. We can't. We can't do that. We cannot do that. And so the scripture that I was reading, it says, our light affliction is for a moment. He said in verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, things that are seen are temporal. Temporal. The stuff that's going on, that's so negative. That's temporary. That is, see if some of you historians in the Word of God can give back to me what it means. Temporal means it is. Say it again. Temporary. Temporary, but somebody else said something too. Subject to change. I like that. That situation is subject to change. When we were believing God to get out of debt, we were making that determination. This is subject to change. What does that mean? It's qualified. It qualifies to be changed. The physical body, any kind of ailment, any kind of sickness, it qualifies to be changed because you are a world overcomer. Faith of God working on the inside of you. So that word temporal or temporary or temporal, it means subject to change. It means it is short-lived. Short-lived. I believe whatever you're going through right now, it is short-lived. If you'll take this and run with it, it's short-lived. It's not going to happen for very long. It's not going to happen. I mean, you can count it down in minutes. We're just about done with it. We get our word temporary. Temporary. Lasting. A limited time. Pending the establishment of something intended as long range. That's a really good definition there. Temporary means lasting a limited time, pending the establishment of something intended as long range. You are establishing the Word of God for the long range plan. With a long life will He satisfy me and show me His salvation. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I am delivered. This is a temporary situation. We also get our word transient. Transient means passing through briefly. Transient, like an overnight stay. This thing that's trying to attack, it's like an overnight stay. It's like an overnight stay. And don't entertain it in your thought life. Keep it in the realm of the Spirit, or keep it in the realm of the Word of God coming out of your mouth and letting your mind be filled with His thoughts and not the thoughts of defeat, or not the thoughts of this is not going to work, or not the thoughts of this is not going to come out right. No, He wants it to come out right. That's His desire. That's what He wants for you and me. But it's going to take a bulldog faith to keep that off of you and keep that away from you. You may have to turn off the television, except for the Believer's Voice of Victory Network. You may need to shut off the news. You know, as the years have gone by, Terry and I have watched less and less and less news. It's becoming less and less. Sometimes we'll turn on the news when we're eating dinner and we'll watch about 5 minutes and she'll turn to me and say, let's watch something else. It's just that way. It's just that way. What are you doing when you're backing away from those things? You are detoxifying your spirit and detoxifying your mind. That's why Terry and I are listening to the Word all the time. All the time. Every opportunity that I have, I am feeding my faith. And that's how you feed your faith, by listening to the Word of God. And it's changing things on the inside. Well, he's saying the things that are seen, the things that you see that are contrary to the Word, they are temporary. They qualify. They qualify to be changed. They qualify to be moved out. They qualify to be different. The word temporal, another word is seasonal. It's a season. And this season's almost over. And you need to tell the devil yourself, devil, this season is over. Your season of running me down is over. It is over. It is done. A season is a time with an appointed end. And subject to change. When it talks about it being subject to change, whatever doesn't line up with God's word, it qualifies for change. So you can show me the list of things that are going on that are wrong and contrary with the word of God. Every one of those things is subject to change. It is subject to the word. It is subject to the name of Jesus, which is above every name. And then it says in the scripture, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Eternal. What's he talking about there? He's talking about the Word of God. The Word of God. Let me read three scriptures. You can write these down. It says in the 119th Psalm, the 89th verse, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is the will of God for the physical body on earth? It is the same will of God that is in heaven, that we walk healed and whole and free. Do you believe that today? Yes. He sent his word and he healed his people. So that's one scripture. Another scripture is Matthew 24, 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. They will stand. They will stand. They'll stand the test. They stood the test of time. They will continue to stand the test of time. And the Lord is looking for someone who will activate their faith and put this thing to work. The third scripture is Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So the things that we see, those are temporary. That's a temporary thing when you put it in light of the word of God. And the things which are not seen are eternal. The things that are not seen right now is the manifestation of the answer. But we are pulling that answer in with our faith. Father, I thank you for it. I thank you for the answer. You've given me the wisdom of God. I know exactly what to do. I claim your wisdom. I take your wisdom today. And thank you that you're directing me, you're guiding me, and you are leading me, and you are helping me in this. And where that whole overwhelming thing is concerned, you need to overwhelm the devil. You need to overwhelm him. You need to overwhelm him with the word coming out of your mouth. The word of God coming out of your mouth to the devil is like a dog whistle. It so bothers him. It so bothers him. When you declare the word, you resist the devil and he will flee. You resist him. How do you resist him? You declare that word. You speak that word. You believe that word. You believe it with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul. And the more you do that, the devil cannot stand it. Why? because it reminds him of what took place to him in the pit of hell when Jesus was raised from the dead and defeated Satan and all of his cohorts. They are a defeated foe. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities and rulers of the darkness. And that wrestling in the Greek, if you look up a definition of that, it talks about two opponents that are fighting each other. And the one who can keep the other's neck on the ground with his hand is the winner. So you see yourself as you declare the word of God. What does that do to the devil? It is taking literally your hand and putting it on his neck, wrestling with them. You are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And he cannot steal, he cannot kill, he cannot destroy in your life. And he cannot do that in my life. I refuse it. I refuse it. And you know, as you meditate on these things and you let these things settle down in the inside, the Lord will add things to it. He'll talk to you about things. He'll talk to you about fear. He'll talk to you about absolutely laying down all fear. Some people say a little bit of fear is good. No, we need to have a no fear policy, no fear tolerance policy in our lives. Why? Because a number of times the Lord has commanded us, fear not. Fear not. Fear is like a magnet and it draws the wrong stuff to us. Faith is also like a magnet and it draws the right stuff to us. So what needs to change in your life? What are the things that need to change? I'm going to give you three things to write down. Then we're going to take communion together over this. What needs to change? Well, what do we do? Number one, we find out what is ours in the Word of God. Very simple. Very simple. But you find out what is yours. There's a scripture that I've been meditating the last few days, just over and over and over again. I'll be laying in bed at night and I'll be meditating on that. It's the 103rd Psalm, that first part of it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his name, holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all of my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems me from destruction. His loving kindness, tender mercy. I've been crowned with his loving kindness and his tender mercy. He fills my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. What is it that he's filling our mouths with? His word. It's his word. We're not talking about fettuccine. We're talking about word. He satisfies my mouth with good things, with the word. And because of it, my youth is renewed like the eagle. Say this after me. My youth is renewed like the eagles. With long life, will he satisfy me? And show me his salvation. So you've got to find out, first of all, what is yours in the Word. The Word is your ammunition for this attack. That's the ammunition for the attack. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The second thing we have to do, and this, I'm telling you what he told me in 2003. This is what he told me to do. And I read it yesterday and I'm going, this is good. This is really good. The second thing, declare what is yours in the Word of God. You find out, first of all, what's yours. You look up your scripture. If you're believing for healing, you look up the 103rd Psalm and you look at that scripture and you see where it says, he forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases. I believe the Amplified Bible says every one of all. That's all. That's all of them. And so you put that in your mouth and you just say that and declare that. The Word of God, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Proverbs tells us that. And that word, we've been taught and we know that scientists have talked about what words do. Words, when words are spoken in our lives, they go to every nerve of the body. They head for whatever part that is that needs to be fixed. And so when you're declaring the word says, He heals all my diseases, that living word on your lips is beginning to work on the inside of you. It works as a weapon to push off the devil, and it works as a treatment to help you get well. That's what it means here when it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The word benefits in the Hebrew is the word treatments. Take a treatment of the word of God and see what it does to you. Say, my body is whole.
My body is whole.
My body is healed.
My body is healed.
According to the word of God. The 103rd Psalm says, he heals all my diseases. So what we have to do is aggressively, like a bulldog, speak the word to what needs to be changed. You tell the situation what the word says about the situation. And don't let the situation tell you what it says about itself. That's how you launch this attack. You prepare for the attack by finding out. You launch the attack with the words of your mouth. And then the Lord said this to me. Number three, keep saying what is yours in the word of God until you see it. You keep saying it until you see it. You say it until you see it. You say it until you see it. You say it until you see it. That's how this ministry operates. And people call us crazy. We're real big on YouTube right now. We're real big out there where some things are concerned. People are all up in arms about having airplanes. Airplanes get us to go where we need to go. And the partners of this ministry feel that it is appropriate that Kenneth Copeland Ministries be able to travel in that way. Do you know what? Brother Copeland is in Nigeria right now. Right now. He will board an airplane. He'll be back tomorrow. He'll be back tomorrow on the plane. It's a tool. It's a tool. And so we believe God for that. We believe God to be able to use these tools that He has for us. Well, number three, keep saying what is yours in the Word of God until you see it. That's how you sustain the attack. That's how you do it. You have a bulldog faith about it. You bite down on that word and you do not let go. You do not quit. Our persistence will wear down the devil's resistance. I'll say it again. Our persistence in the Word will wear down the devil's resistance. That's what Goliath was trying to do. He was wearing down the Israelites' resistance by coming out there and showing himself every day and saying what he was saying, spewing off his mouth. What was going on? He was wearing down the resistance of the Israeli army until David got out there. David, a covenant man, a man who knew his covenant, and told him, "You uncircumcised Philistine, I got the lion, I got the bear, you're next, you're next." And he took that sling with that stone in it, swung that thing and released it and got him in the middle of the head. How do you apply that to today? The word of God is like that. You put the word in that sling, you take that sling and shoot it out of your mouth. So you find out what is yours in the Word. You declare what is yours in the Word. Then you keep saying what is yours in the Word of God. Say this after me. This situation,
is contrary to the Word.
It is now subject to,
and qualifies for,
change.
I aggressively speak the Word of faith.
I declare this situation
to be completely turned around
right now,
in Jesus' name.
Come on, everybody, give praise and glory for that. Thank you, Father.
Praise God. Ushers, I want you to go ahead and pass.